When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
On first down, Daniels goes back. He lets it fly. It's intercepted. It's intercepted by Blankenship. I believe he caught it.
Yes.
You're right, Devin. That was good. It wasn't quite Marv Albert. Yes! Jordan, yes! But it was a good call, yes. and it was a great play by Reed Blankenship, who has had a knack for these game-ending, essentially ending, clinching, if you will, interceptions that are the sliding variety with a couple minutes left in the fourth quarter. Great play by Blankenship, who's had a much better season this year than last year. Speaking of better, Seth Joyner is one of the better players Eagles have ever had. He joins us every single Monday, but not this case, because it's a Friday following a Thursday night game, a great win by the Eagles last night. Seth brought to us by Bradford White Water Heaters. How you heat your water matters. Whether it's a tank or tankless model, choose Bradford White. Visit BradfordWhite.com, and we welcome for the entire next hour an Eagles legend. And before we get to the game, we got to honor Mr. Seth Joyner in 3 days, who will turn 60 years old. Nice. Happy birthday, Seth.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
How do you feel, man?
I don't feel 60, that's for sure.
You don't look 60.
You don't look it, that's for sure.
I would be remiss this morning, Joe, if I didn't shout out Kendra. You know, yesterday was her birthday, and I was with the game and everything going on. I didn't even post yesterday, so I got some catching up to do. But her birthday was yesterday. I just wanted to wish her a happy birthday. She had an awesome day, went to the game last night with her parents, so it was great.
Well, Seth, you're a very, very lucky guy with a spectacular wife. And, you know, Amy and I have hung out with you and Kendra a number of times. We love her. And so happy birthday to both of you.
Happy birthday, both you guys.
Yeah, good stuff. So, Seth, tremendous, tremendous close by the Eagles. I mean, other than it got a little weird with a minute to go, but that didn't really matter. Great fourth quarter by the Eagles. Incredible surge, 6-game winning streak, 8-2. What's your main takeaway coming out of last night?
I think we're getting to the point now where we expect Saquon to just be Saquon and do something special at some point. So we were trying to figure out, you know, the player of the game last night. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it to the defense. Because believe it or not, before, you know, they kind of gave up that last 50-something yards at the end there, this Washington offense was averaging 377 yards per game. They were stuck at 209. And, it's been this way, you know, for a couple of weeks where the defense in the first half throughout sometimes, you know, the first three quarters, you know, they got to hold it. They got to hold the fort down until the offense kind of figures it out.
Yeah.
Now, so as great as Saquon is and as great as the offensive line played and, you know, Jalen certainly had, you know, his moments. If this defense doesn't step up the way that it steps up, three sacks, an interception, if they don't do what they're doing, there might not be a game down the stretch for them to explode in the fourth quarter and win.
Seth, how much of this defensive excellence, how much of the defensive success is scheme by Vic Fangio, and how much is just simply getting out there and putting your face on people and tackling the way you should and just being tough football players?
I think it's a combination of it all, John. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, Vic Fangio is one of the better defensive minds in the National Football League. I don't know what version of that we got in Jonathan Gannon and Sean Desai, but it doesn't look anything like what I'm watching, Vic Fangio put together. But, you know, last week he talked about, I think someone asked him about, why is the tackling so much better? And he says, you know, I had a coach when I first started coaching. He said that, you know, when you emphasize something, you know, players get better at it. You know, he's 100% correct.
And Simple as that.
Yeah, and I think what winds up happening throughout the length of a long season, and because, you know, the physical side of football is not practiced anymore, you know, the tackling kind of goes by the wayside. So if you're not a player that will work on those things on an individual basis, you kind of lose techniques and fundamentals as far as that kind of stuff is concerned. But when you emphasize it, you know, they got the donut out of there. They started, you know, tackling to the ground, you know, even though the mat was down. When you start to emphasize something, you get better at it. That's why, you know, I'm a big proponent for at some point in time in the season, or maybe even, you know, once every few weeks of just having a technique and fundamental day, because, you know, a lot of people will be like, well, my goodness, you know, they're professional players. They've been playing ever since they were little kids. You know, shouldn't they know how to do that? You know, it's a great point, but when you don't work on something, when you don't emphasize something, it minimizes, you know, your ability to do it at the highest level. You know, you kind of lose some of the, you know, some of the methodology for how to do it.
Sure. How good is Quinyon Mitchell?
You know, right now, I'm telling you, he's got to be, you know, in the top two or three cornerbacks in the National Football League right now. And that's
wow.
That's saying a lot.
Wow. Man. Out of all the cornerbacks in the NFL, our rookie is top two in the NFL.
Let me tell you something, John. So I did some research last week, and 77% of the plays – Terry McLaurin, who is a speedster. They don't call him Scary Terry for no other reason. 77% of the time, he lined up on the offense's left, the defense's right. Guess who plays over there on the right side?
Right.
Okay. Quinyon. They had to move Terry McLaurin to the left side in order to get him one down reception.
That's great, man.
Okay. That's incredible.
That's great.
That is incredible.
Well done. You know, speaking of incredible, Seth, you touched on Saquon at the start, but let's get back to that, because you just talked top two or three for the position of corner. I wonder if Saquon's top two or three for MVP. Not that he is in the odds, because he's not, and always goes to a quarterback. But in your opinion, how would you rank him halfway, a little through more than halfway through the year? Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Saquon. I mean, I just think what we're seeing is off the charts.
Well, I think what we're seeing is a renaissance or a resurgence of the running game to begin with.
Sure, yeah.
That shouldn't have never really taken a run in the opposite direction, because in my opinion, I believe that they devalued the running back position and overvalued the quarterback position, because they had to justify paying these guys $30, $40, $50, now $60 million per year. It's a quarterback-driven game. It's a passing league, you know. But there's only a handful of players, in my opinion, that's worth that kind of money. And there's only a handful of players that can stand in the pocket and deliver the ball 40, 50 times a game and be successful without turning it over. You know, so a run game is always a quarterback's best friend, just like, you know, protection is. But protection is great because, you know, you run the football and you get your offensive line, which really just wants to mash on some people, to a position where they've dominated you physically. So now when it comes to pass protection, you know, that kind of just plays over into that. Now, talk about him being a MVP candidate. If the most valuable player goes to the player that makes his player makes his team one of the better teams in the National Football League, then absolutely he should be right there. Absolutely.
I mean, Seth, I think they could be 500 without him. I mean that. I don't mean that disrespectful to all the other guys. I just think without what he's done, I mean, there was a game, I think it was the Giants, they didn't do anything for a long time, and he ripped off a long TD run. Like,
you could say the same for A.J. Brown. It feels
but
like
more Saquon
stars
at this point.
Well, of course.
A.J.
I think
a little
the
bit
run
more
is more
earlier.
Important than the pass. That is intrinsic to the game. The value
like
of running it really matters.
But Saquon specifically has saved them
run
more.
It.
He has saved them.
I agree. The offensive line has saved them. Jeff Stoutland has saved them. Jalen Hurts with his legs has saved them.
Jalen's made plays, but Saquon's on a totally different level. All right.
Absolutely.
Let's get some calls in here. Let's go to Brian right now. Seth Joyner with us this entire hour. Good morning, Brian. Brian.
Speechless.
Brian is.
Brian guy.
Like, not there.
Brian.
Not ready to go. All right, let's talk to Ken. He's calling from Cinnaminson. Hi, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
What's up?
It's great. Good.
What a beautiful, beautiful Friday morning. Hey, so Joe, pay attention, because I want you to hear how this sounds. I have to do something that I don't often do, because I don't often need to do it. I was wrong about not paying a running back I was wrong to say that running backs are not difference makers in today's NFL. There are a handful of running backs that are difference makers in today's NFL, and Howie went out and signed one of them. And I'm so eternally grateful that he did. So I just need to get that out there. Because
I agree. Yeah, Ken, I got hand in the air, same thing. I agree.
Also been a really big season for running backs just across the league.
Yep.
I think his quarterback play and passing's down. But yeah,
well, Derrick Henry, and then, yeah, so, you know, Seth, I actually thought the biggest change that led to the passing was the rule changes, combination of the NFL wanting more passing, but also the byproduct of the concussion thing 15, 20 years ago being a bigger topic. And, you know, you can't hit this guy that way. You can't touch the quarterback. You can't touch the wide receiver. You know, so I thought that was the biggest factor. But it is fascinating. It's swinging back. And, you know, we'll see where it goes.
It has to, Joe, because the tenets of the game, you can't become so one-sided. And
it wasn't good for football when it was. I agree with you. Made it more boring. It did. Like, I like balance. It's not going to be 50-50, but I didn't want it to be 75-25. And it felt like in a lot of instances it had become, you know, 75-25. Anyway, Ken, go ahead, pal. Go ahead.
Yeah, so one more thing, 30,000-foot kind of big picture level that I don't want to miss. I'm not calling to worship at the altar of Nick Sirianni today. That can wait for another day. But last year, the Eagles' defense looked old, slow, and expensive. Yeah. And in the offseason, Howie Roseman went out and made this defense young, athletic, and cheap. And we have maybe the best defense in the NFL right now, and it is the youngest defense in the NFL right now. And while we're throwing praise around to everybody else and the great job that everybody's done, and look, it hurt not to be able to get Fangio last year because it was just too late because they were in the Super Bowl the year before. So this is all great, but You can't overstate the job that Howie Roseman did to convert this defense in one off season to what we're seeing, and I don't want that to be kind of overlooked or lose sight of that, because hey, they're young, they're cheap, they're fast, and they're really, really good right now. And this
I agree with you. And here's how it, and Ken, good call. Here's how it often goes. It certainly happened in 2017. When a team gets great, and it's not like the Eagles were bad last year. They became bad at the end, but they were 11-6. I mean, they had a quality team for most of the year. When a team, though, makes a jump to great, it often is a multi-year process, but can be accelerated in 1 year. I mean, in 16, the Eagles got Brandon Brooks. They got Roddy McLeod. Obviously, they got Carson. But, you know, you look at this team, it wasn't just in 1 year, because Jordan Davis a few years ago, Jalen Carter last year, Blankenship a couple years ago. So there are, you know, guys that have been here, but man, they're making jumps. They're and by the way, you know what I thought? I thought of a player. All right, let's see if anyone can get this. I thought of a player last night who is an Eagle, who is not, Seth, I think it was you about 2 minutes ago, or callers 2 minutes ago, that said, young, fast, and cheap. I thought of a player who is a current Eagle, who is old, probably slow, and absolutely not cheap. And we haven't said his name in 2 months. Who is it?
Darius Slay?
Nope.
James Bradbury.
1,000% James Bradbury is still in the Eagles.
I forgot.
And
I forgot.
It's incredible. They're carrying his salary to not play.
Well, they had to.
They. Well, he also got injured. But what would have been fascinating had he not got injured?
Get injured, Joe. Yeah.
You don't think so?
They made a decision. You remember,
breaking news.
Hey, listen. Way back in the day, you know, when the aforementioned Washington Redskins, like, they had like 20 players that they would hide on injured reserve. And then the league made rules about them not being able to do it. So, you know, back then it was like the minute one of their offensive linemen went down or went out or retired, they already had a guy groomed and ready to go, so they never missed a beat. It's harder to do it now, but in James Bradbury's case, they're locked in on that salary. So they're like, well, we might as well keep him, you know, just in case, you know, because we're going to have to pay him anyway. We're not going to let him go somewhere else and, you know, pay the lion's share of it to someone.
Jick,
you know,
sounds pretty bad, Seth. Jick sounds kind of gross.
Hey, it might. It might, but you never know. You never know. Listen, they looked at him at safety all summer, and they talked about, oh, you know, he's going to be able to make the transition, you know, and be a viable 3 or 4, you know, safety. And then all of a sudden, he had this mysterious injury that should have been healed by now. and they still haven't activated him. So you're going to tell me that they, you know, he ain't injured. They're just stocking him away just in case they need to activate him at some point.
I had totally.
Just maybe in the wings.
John, had you forgotten about him?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah.
Until last night, I hadn't thought of him probably since September, early September.
But if he needs to be pressed into action, he's a guy who could go out there
and be like, hey,
DeGene.
John, he's in like eighth place.
And Quinyon. Well, I don't know.
I'll take Cravon LeBlanc back.
Enough guys are hurt. Listen, he's smart.
He is
always.
He could
make it work.
No,
hey, by the way, no drop of the week today. It's something obviously we typically do Friday at this time. But with the Eagles game yesterday, we want to keep the focus on the Eagles when we do drop of the week, and we intend to next week. Always brought to us by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them online at familyjewelers.com. Also right there on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey. Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination. Let's talk to Brian right now. Seth Joyner with us as well. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Seth, great to talk with you. Thanks for everything you did for the Eagles over the years.
You got it,
really,
Brian.
Really appreciate it. But, Seth, this is going to be a hammer call. Joe, I am, and Crowley.
Pro or anti? Pro or anti?
Oh, definitely pro. I'm reading The Hobbit to my 8-year-old daughter.
Okay.
And in the beginning of the book, Bilbo asked Gandalf a question. So after he asked the question, the next four words in the book are, "That's right," said Gandalf. And without even thinking, last night as I'm reading this, putting her to bed, I said, "That's right!
That's how you do! That's what you do! That's how you do, also!" That is damn impressive!
Really is.
Yes. Hammer!
Brian, I felt bad not giving the audience a hammer victory today, but, you know, we had to keep the main thing today. You know,
okay, talk Jalen.
Absolutely. Yes, you're very gracious. Absolutely. One of the things about the hammer, you're very gracious.
But, hammer!
I could just see you. Like, the wizard hammer. And I don't know if anyone's Tolkien fans, but I could just see the wizard hammer in a council of wizards looking around saying, "The wizard you think you are, I am."
Brian.
I love it.
Brian, you missed the feet. We've talked about the feet.
I thought that's where it was going to, the Frodo feet.
You know that Joe is twinning with Frodo's feet, right? Like you,
nice use of twinning,
Brian. More importantly, do you know that the show, otherwise, and I feel bad about this, otherwise known as The Hammer, last night was featured at the start of the telecast of that game?
I was not aware.
WI. So they, you know, the NFL Network or films or whoever the heck
NFL
it was,
filmed
us a couple days ago, and they were in there for like an hour. They took the whole, like, hour that they filmed and condensed it into about 4 seconds of content. And it was literally just me talking about the Eagles and Washington playing when they're both good for the first time in forever. I felt bad the rest of you weren't featured. I mean,
I think only you noticed. So
I did.
Don't worry.
I did feel bad.
I did.
Hey, Joe.
Yes,
you're all right. Joe, newsflash. I've been featured all my life, man.
Yeah, that's right. Wow. You want to know who's been on the most NFL films featured here? I think we got two people featured a little more.
Hey, Brian, good call, buddy. Appreciate that. See, here's the thing, Seth. Guys like me and James and Rhea and Devin, because we did not play pro football, because we were not, you know, Hall of Famers or all pros or Super Bowl champs and all that.
I didn't quit gassers.
It's a big deal for us when we get four seconds of TV time.
That's very true.
I saw it. It was pretty darn awesome. It really was. I'm like, look at Joe getting some national play.
How about it?
I didn't hear enough from my college friends. It might have been so short that no one from college even knew that was me, but what are you going to do? All right, Seth Joyner with us, typically on Mondays, but Seth with us here on this Friday after an Eagles game. Let's also get to the window to the weekend, the guided door and window to the weekend as we look ahead to the weekend that will be. Buy a window or door and get the second and half off with 18 months interest-free financing. Call guided door and window at 1-877-GO-GUIDER or visit goguida.com. All right, getting you set for the weekend. Well, obviously some Sixers and Flyers. We'll see what Joel has. If he plays, the whole deal, all that nonsense. But one of the biggest things is just going to be sit back on Sunday and enjoy the football games where, you know, the Eagles are in a good spot. So, John, with that, let's get to our picks for this week. And we'll keep it on the short side, obviously, because we got a lot to squeeze in here in the final half hour. I'm just going to give you my three picks. I'll rattle right through them. I'll keep my commentary
very short.
Don't even play the open.
I like this.
Oh, and by the way, let me tell you where we're at. John's now in the lead after he went 2-1 last week and I went 1-2. John is 17-13. I am 16-14, so both above 500, but John's slightly better and good for him. Not going to last long. Here's what I got.
Packers minus 5.5 at Chicago. I think Chicago will finish below 500 and are somewhat of a sinking ship. I got the Jets minus 3.5 home versus the Colts. Certainly the Jets have already sunk, but I think they're better than the Colts and should win this game. If they don't, it's the last time I'm ever going to pick them. And then I've got San Francisco minus 6.5 versus Seattle. Look, we all have our eye on Detroit, as we should, but I think we should also have our eye on San Fran. You know, McCaffrey just got back, and I think that's a team likely still to be reckoned with. John, give me your three picks.
I'm going to take the opposite of you. Colts with Anthony Richardson starting that game. He's the starter for the rest of the year. I think they band together behind him, and he makes plays. Colts 3.5, plus 3.5. I like the line, too. Yep. And the Jets are awful, just really bad this year. I'm going to take the Bills minus 2.5. I think they're going to hand the Chiefs their first loss of the season this week. And the Chiefs just aren't good enough to be undefeated. The Bills, they are. They but they're not undefeated. They will beat the Chiefs. Houston going to Dallas. Houston's mad. They lost an opportunity last week after picking Jared Goff. We've talked about it a lot. Picking Jared Goff off 5 times, yet still losing the game. Now they get to play Dallas, and they're going to beat up on Dallas. Houston is a good team. C.J. Stroud is going to make up for throwing a couple picks last week himself. I think they'll blow the Cowboys out.
All right, those are our picks. Enjoy the weekend, and obviously we'll be talking all about it on Monday, and also we'll get into the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson thing in just a moment. Seth Joyner with us as well. Let's go to Matt. He's calling from Glen Mills. Matt, good morning.
Hey, Joe. How you doing this morning, buddy?
Good, pal. All good.
Hey, listen, I would love to talk about the Eagles with you, but nothing makes me happier after an Eagles loss than an all-time bozo move by the Hammer. On a day where he can't beat the Hammer.
Where
he can't beat the Hammer becomes the Nail.
Okay.
I got to love it. So you said Gerald is a man or a woman's name, right?
Correct.
You got to circle back.
Well, Gerald Dean was the implication, but yeah.
It is strange that Gerald is a woman's
name. I had the same thought.
John corrected you, and you said, no, Gerald. No, Gerald is strictly a man's name, and you weren't named after a nun. You're named after a saint, Joe. The nuns take their own name, and then they pick a saint.
Well, correct. I know that Gerald as well. I'm aware of that.
Oh, that's
why my aunt
that was her saint
didn't
name.
Seem like you were aware of it. When
well,
you talked
yeah, my
about
Aunt
it before,
Judy is Aunt Judy, but she's Sister Diane Marie. You know, that's how it works.
All right,
well, you're not teaching me anything I don't know, Matt. Come on, man. I'm a savant.
So you just delivered it poorly earlier.
I guess so. I mean, I was trying to get to the porn portion.
Everybody was kind of flummoxed by your Gerald is a female name. We were all like, what?
Matt, you got to admit, the porn reality related to the nun scenario was quite outrageous.
That was something. That is for sure.
All right,
Matt, good call, buddy. Good stuff. Hey, Seth, let's get to the Sirianni thing. So a couple weeks ago, you were very down on him. 98% of people were down on him. Where do you net out right now on Sirianni? It's been a good bounce back for the team. Where do you net out on Nick as the coach?
You know, coaching, in my opinion, is it's important. But I think in some instances and sometimes, you know, we can overvalue coaches. You know, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Players play for their teammates, and they play for themselves. So this theory that players play for coaches, I don't really buy into that. I've never went into a game like, man, you know, I'm really going to lay it on the line for coach here. Doesn't work that way. You know, that's just a nice narrative that
even
we throw.
Buddy, even, you know, even buddy, you didn't feel
even,
that?
When
even.
You're a kid. I mean, it never enters your mind. Yeah, when you're a kid.
When you're a little kid.
Yeah,
yeah.
John, because you're influenced by, you know, a coach when you're a little kid. Like, I've coached little kids. I've coached, you know, up to 14-year-olds. And, yeah, they want to do everything. They want to please the hell out of you.
Yeah.
But when you become a pro, you're playing for the guys that's next to you because of the relationship that you have with them. You're playing for yourself and your own selfish reasons.
Your family.
You know, you're playing for, you know, the money that you're going to make. You're not. It's not in your mind that we're playing for coach. You know, you're going out to try to get it done. And the observation that the team is playing better because of Nick Sirianni. Yeah, when you're 8-2 and things are going well and you're making proper decisions. You know, it's gonna have a different tone to it. Now, I give him a lot of credit last night because he read the situation properly. Even though Jake missed those field goals, he made the right play. Instead of going for it on fourth down, he realized that, hey, you know what? Every point is valuable. We're playing against a team this averaging 20-something points a game, 377 yards, but our defense is stomping a mud hole in them, and they can't do anything right now. So there's no reason, you know, to take risks in a situation like that. Now, if the game is on the line, if you're in a situation with an offense that's scoring every possession, you feel the need to keep up because, you know, if you get down by two touchdowns, you're not going to be able to catch up. Then I understand the aggression. But when you're playing and your defense is just smacking, you know, the opponent at every turn and the game is still within one score, there's no reason to be overly aggressive. So I give him credit for being able to, you know, and there was a time when they scored that first touchdown, you could tell by the look on his face, Joe, he wanted to go for two.
Yeah. All right, let's get to Gary right now. He's calling from New Jersey. What's going on, Gary?
Hey, Giants fans, how's Saquon? He's washed, huh?
You know, Gary, it's astounding. I actually considered Joe Shane for the game ball today. But, you know.
Did you hear the fans chanting, thank you, Giants,
I heard
on the Amazon telecast?
Oh, no, so it didn't make it through to me on the TV.
Oh, okay.
But I did hear people reference it.
Pretty funny.
It's just amazing how an offensive line makes a running back look great. Wow.
Yeah, and Gary, here's the only thing. The only thing I'll say in Joe Shane's defense on the Saquon thing, they probably wouldn't go anywhere with him this year anyway because it would have been like all the other years. No line, no quarterback, no nothing. So I can understand not paying a running back when you're not going to win anyway. The crime for them was not putting anything around him for six seasons. That's astounding.
Right. Yeah, you know what, Joe? Maybe. But you can't tell me. I tweeted last night. I'm like, how sick are the Giants watching Saquon
do
what he's doing?
That might
have been the case. But the owner sat there in that meeting.
Well, they look worse because of that. Yeah.
Well, come on. Then you got to.
I'm just saying, if he's there, maybe they're 500. You know, like they weren't going to contend for a Super Bowl. They still don't have a quarterback.
I hear you.
You know.
Yeah, but it's just like the Sixers letting go. You know, the big guy. Like you just.
The big guy, Moses or Wilt? Which one?
No, Wilt.
They traded both of them. I don't know which big guy they got rid of. You're not talking about when they traded Sean Bradley for Derek Coleman, right?
If they let go of Embiid, it'd be...
Oh, okay, that big guy.
When can we do that?
Sean Bradley was...
I got something to ask John, but the defense, man, it's so nice. Every time you see a tackle, there's two or three more jerseys around them just waiting.
Yeah, how about that? Gang tackling. Man, that's what wins games. I love that. Flow to the ball.
When Slay made that tackle, Cooper DeJean was just waiting. Like he was, if he missed them, that guy was getting clocked.
Yeah, no, look, they're gang tackling right now. And Gary, good call, man. You know, Seth, that was one of the hallmarks. I mean, you guys had so much going on late 80s, early 90s, but gang tackling is certainly something I remember. I mean, if it wasn't one guy, it was six guys. And this team has rallied.
Seth, did you guys do pursuit drills when you were playing?
Absolutely.
And how did you feel about doing pursuit drills in practice?
Absolutely hated it. but I tell you what it did was it always put you in position to turn and run to the football. You know, like if you were away from the play, you had a target on the other sideline where you was aiming to make sure that you took the proper angle. I mean, I absolutely hated it. The pursuit drill, you know, kind of did me in. I can remember the first time we played against Barry Sanders. So I come in Wednesday morning, and my position coach, he was like, listen, if they run the ball away from you, he said, don't even pursue the ball. Just stay there. Because the likelihood of him coming back is pretty high.
Oh.
Like clockwork, the second damn series of the game, they toss weak, okay? And it's like in your head. The coaches are like, you know, run to the ball. Here, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I turn and I take my pursuit angle, and sure enough, as I'm looking out of my left eye, here he comes, right back to where I was. I'm like, damn.
And
that's classic, man.
So bad feeling.
All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. All right, let's all go on the record here for tonight's fight. I don't have any plans as of now to watch it, but I'd like to. I'd like to, you know, carve out some time tonight. I guess a pay-per-view, James? For
so what are you doing? Are you asking for someone to invite you over?
Is it really on Netflix, Devin?
First, I'm asking, how do I watch it?
It's on Netflix.
Oh, then I'm fine.
Okay. Yeah, it's not. I don't believe it's pay-per-view.
Oh, that works for me.
That is.
I'm in. All right.
I'll say.
I like that.
I wasn't going to pay for it.
Carving out time from whatever I do on a Friday night that I keep very quiet, you know, because I'm a mystery man. All right, Devin, who wins tonight's fight, Jake Paul or Mike Tyson, who you may be too young to have ever seen actually fight?
I don't think I've ever seen Mike Tyson like live. Like, I know who he is, of course, but like in a live fight. But I'm taking Mike Tyson here because Jake Paul is a little.
Seth, that's incredible. Like, Seth, is Tyson going to come in with the clanking chains thing? I don't know if you remember. There was a stretch
that
in
was
his
all time.
He would come in. It wasn't even music. It was just this murmur and clanking chains. Mm-hmm. Whatever. All right, Seth, who wins the fight tonight?
You know, it's been quite some time since. You know, Tyson had a fight, but that dude's a professional fighter. You know, Jake Paul has never fought a professional fighter. And I get it. You know, he's 50-something years old. But that guy's wired different. And he hasn't been put in this situation in a long time. When he steps into that ring, that little switch in his head's going to go off. And, you know, he's going to smother Jake Paul. He's not going to allow Jake Paul to stand back and box. He's going to smother him and hit him with a couple of body blows. This fight ain't going to last long, man. You kidding me?
All right, Ray, what do you got?
Did you see him the other day? He knocked his trainer out with the full gear and everything on. He hit the guy, and the guy just, like, crumbled.
I think Seth is kind of on the right track here. I saw somebody once challenge a semi-pro boxer to a fight, and they were younger. Knocked him on his ass.
Wow.
So I'm gonna go Tyson.
Are you making it a clean sweep so far, James? Tyson as well?
I'm not, actually. I want Mike Tyson to win. I'll be rooting for Mike Tyson. Like, I think there's a reason Jake Paul's a over minus 200 favorite. Like, he's 31 years younger. 31.
But that's what's so messed up about it.
And he has fought real fighters, for what it's worth. He fought Tyson Fury's brother, who's like a solid fighter, and he beat him. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Tyson won, but if you're asking me who I think's going to win, I think Jake Paul's going to win.
All right, so here's my I'm going to give you an official prediction in a moment, but I'm going to give you a sub prediction. 3 rounds or under, Tyson wins. 4 rounds or more, Jake Paul.
Yeah, I think he wins in a decision.
This is a conditioning matter if Jake Paul can avoid an early knockout by Mike Tyson. I'm going to go with Tyson and give him the early knockout, but I will say this, what I really don't want to say. About 35 years ago, after Dr. J and Kareem retired, they played maybe 3 or 4 years later in a basketball game, one-on-one, and it was one of the saddest things I've ever seen. They were both horrendous. They were probably in their mid-40s, and it was tough to watch. I hope it's not that tonight. I hope it's not that. Yeah. John,
they get to punch each other in the face. It's not going to be.
But they
that.
Might get really tired after 6 weeks.
They will get very
by
tired.
By we, you mean Tyson.
By Mike. Yeah, Mike.
Might become
a
sparring match, and that would suck, you know, if they're just kind of jabbing each other.
Like when Ali fought the wrestler. I don't know if you guys know the story. Muhammad Ali fought a wrestler in the 70s, and the wrestler stayed on his back the whole time. Muhammad Ali stood the whole time, and the guy just kicked Muhammad Ali's legs the whole fight. Mm-hmm. It was horrendous.
Guys, I'm trying to tell you, man. Have any of you guys ever met Mike Tyson before?
Oh, the floor is yours. Let's go, Seth.
I've been in the guy's presence, man. I'm telling you, he's a different animal. I've been around a lot of, like, high-profile professional athletes on every level. That guy is different.
Yeah.
And this monster that's been locked up inside of him for the last 2 decades.
Yeah. No, I think he'll win.
You're about to unleash that on a guy who's been disrespectful.
Seth, can we get
disrespectful. Very disrespectful.
Seth, I want a you, Tyson, Barkley story. 3 of you ever hang out?
Me? Who, say it again?
You, Tyson, and Barkley. Ever hang out at the same time?
No, that wouldn't happen. Charles too scared to hang out with Tyson.
Wow.
All right, John, how do you think people voted on the poll?
That's awesome. Jeez. I think Seth just won job of the week.
Maybe. 78% Tyson.
73% Mike Tyson.
Wow.
So we'll enjoy it tonight. It's either going to be fun or a disaster. And with that, let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
All right, time's yours, brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. By the way, Seltzer, for next week, or for 11 days from now, when Seth is next with us on a Monday, reminder, James, tell me to tee up Seth stories of hanging with famous people.
No doubt.
Because he's given us a Jordan story that was great, a Tyson perspective that's great. I know he's hung with Tiger, and I think there's more to tap into. We'll get to that. All right, let's do what we do. Let's hit it with timeshares.
Jalen Hurts sucks tonight. That throw wasn't anywhere close. It almost looks like he's suffering from maybe a concussion from getting hit a couple times. I don't know, but he better clean this up, or this is going to be a long...
Ooh. All right, let's
drop that one there.
Whoa, James.
Not okay. Me, Wetter. Jeez.
All right, so we just had to hit what is called the dump button to have a major F-bomb not make the air. Let's just say the caller wasn't...
I dumped it.
He wasn't happy with Jalen Hurts. We'll put it that way.
Hey, listen, we ain't that far from F-bombs and everything else being dropped. They're dropping right. Everything else on ESPN.
You ain't wrong.
Pat McAfee, like, you might as well just let it
exactly.
Flow
exactly.
Why are we trying to be smarter than what we need to be? Run the freaking ball! Sirianni, get out of the way. Run the ball. Quit trying to be pass happy. This is the worst rush defenses out there. Run the freaking ball!
Well, they did.
Moments later.
Yeah, baby! I'm glad you heard me. Run the ball!
I think it was about 40 times. Whatever it was a lot.
In just one game, I experienced 3 quarters of frustration from the offense, 3 quarters of excitement from the defense, and 4 quarters of hating the ref. But in the end, just like Joe, I suddenly need an inhaler now. And the Birds fall back for the win! E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Devin and I both getting shrapnel on that one. That was a double whammy.
Everyone's nailing the Devin to start. It's a trend.
This is to all those WIP folks who would rather have Jaden Daniels as their quarterback than our guy Jalen Hurts. I'm talking to you, Joe DeCamera. The guy just wins. Give him the credit he deserves.
Look, he deserves some credit last night, but way down the list on why they won. They won so much more because of the defense and Saquon. So much more. And Jaden Daniels, who I do think will certainly have a better future and maybe better right now, was horrendous. Horrendous last night.
I dedicate this call to Devin. Yay! Now some advice. Go with more of a baritone, a low tenor. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles. You have to do it on air and redeem yourself.
All right, we'll put her on the spot. With that, let's shut down Time's Yours and make Devin uncomfortable.
The Time's Yours line.
Yes.
Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints.
Seth, that's a lot of pressure.
215-233-4500.
You're making me do this
all right, Seth,
in a public place?
The request just came in for the deeper voice. And, Seth, you're the king of the deeper voice. So, Seth, can you give Devin a little pep talk and maybe even instruction of how to get deeper and have Devin crank this thing up?
It's biologically not viable, man.
Thank you.
Why are you asking her to do something?
Because I want to embarrass her.
No, that little thing, she was probably having a sip of water and kind of got, you know, the water mixed in between
right.
The windpipe. The windpipe and the esophagus.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, hey.
Thank you, Seth.
A lot of excuses
thank
being
you,
made.
Seth.
Is this going to be Freddy Cat time, Devin? Is that it? You just...
We're in the middle of a casino. You want me to alarm these nice people?
I mean, I do that every Friday on Pizza Hammer.
Cool.
You know, I mean, I.
You have no shame, though, Joe.
That's very
well, true. I'll do it if you guys join me.
I'll join you.
Fine. In honor of the 8-2
okay.
Eagles.
All right.
8-2 Eagles. All here right. We go.
Ready?
E!
A!
G!
Eagles!
Eagles! Super Bowl bound! Well, maybe. We'll see.
That was a horrible honestly, this is better than that was.
Hey, Seth, all jokes aside, my man. Have a,
that was so bad.
Have a great birthday weekend, Seth. Seriously, man. You've been
birthday,
a phenomenal part of our show and an incredible Eagle. And I'll leave you with this daunting thought. You're about to start your 7th decade on Earth.
Wow.
That's dark.
Hey, you know what they say.
But you're an example of why people are going to start getting to 100, because you ain't done any time soon.
Man, I don't plan on checking out of here until well into my, you know, 10th decade.
There you
well,
go, man.
Well in.
Hey, Seth, have a great weekend. Again, happy birthday to Kendra, Seth's wife. And everyone, have a wonderful weekend. Joe and Hugh are up next.